The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. There was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the wedding. When the wine ran short, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, how does your concern affect me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servers, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone water jars there for Jewish ceremonial washings, each holding 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus told them, "Fill the jars with water." So he filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Draw some out now and take it to the head waiter." So they took it. And when the head waiter tasted the water that had become wine, without knowing where it came from, although the servers who had drawn the water knew, the head waiter called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves good wine first, and when the people have drunk freely, an inferior wine. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this at the beginning of his sign at Cana in Galilee, and so revealed his glory, and his disciples began to believe in him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
We have just heard in the Gospel reading the third Epiphany of the Lord. Yes, there is the Epiphany on January 6th where the Magi, where the manifestation of God has become man amongst us and living amongst us from infancy to adulthood. That is the Epiphany, a manifestation of the presence of God amongst us. But there are 3 Epiphanies in the tradition of the Catholic Church. First one is the Epiphany, as I stated, of the Magi. The second is the baptism of the Lord, when Jesus comes into public life and is baptized by John, and the clouds open up and say, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." God speaks people here, and it is another confirmation that this man is the Son of God, is God, now living amongst us to teach us and teach us a new way to live, so that we ourselves may become like God, sharing his very deity, his very nature as God. And so today we have the third Epiphany, which is the wedding at Cana, where Jesus says adamantly, "Why are you telling me this? My time has not come." And then Mary doesn't even address Jesus. Like a good mother, a powerful mother, a mother with authority, with rectitude, doesn't even say, "He's going to do what, just listen to what he has to tell you." Doesn't say, "You're going to do it." Listen, there's no negotiating with Mary. Doesn't even address Jesus back about what he has to do. Jesus then knows, "I have to do this. My mother is telling me." My brothers and sisters, this has to ring true and hard and to every fiber of our being, the authority and the power of the Mother of God, this woman that was chosen by God as a vessel where he would be born, where the humility of God, the creator of the universe, would allow himself to be born in a human womb, a uterus. The biology of God would be such reduced that he would become a human and be formed, conceived, grow in this one and first tabernacle, the Virgin Blessed Mother. We can call our metal and iron tabernacles perhaps second generation tabernacles, and Mary was the first. And Mary has a great place in our faith and in the life of the church, so much so that the beginning of the year starts January 1st with the solemnity of the Holy Mother of God. We dedicate a whole month to her in May. And we say, "Hail Mary, Holy Mary, Mother of God." Mother of God, God, the universal being that created everything, was in Mary. We must understand this powerful, powerful woman, the co-redemptress. Jesus Christ is the Redeemer, and Mary is co-redemptress. Do whatever He tells you. Our Lady knew that Jesus would listen to her. Jesus is the most perfect, most holy, most obedient, most dutiful son ever to walk the earth. You cannot be a good son or a daughter and disobey your mother in a worthy request. Our separated brethren, our Protestant brothers and sisters, believe that we place too much value on Our Lady, that we adore her, that we is like a god to us, that we worship. They do not understand for 2,000 years what Mary has meant since the conception, since the Annunciation of Mary, the chosen vessel, immaculate from conception, herself, free of sin. They do not understand. We cannot ever love Mary too much. And I ask you, can we love Mary too much? Can we love Mary too much? I'll answer it with this quote from St. Maximilian Kolbe. Never be afraid of loving Mary too much. You can never love her more than Jesus did. Jesus loved her mother. Jesus had the genome and the DNA and the flesh and the appearance of Mary. Jesus had the features of His mother. So Mary is an incredible elected vessel in our lives and in redemption history. We are called to imitate Jesus in everything, in His humility, in His obedience, in His sufferings. Why then? Why then would we want to imitate His love for Our Lady? Why wouldn't we imitate Jesus' love for Mary as He loved her? Without her, God could not save humanity. Without her, Jesus could not redeem us. Without Mary, He could not redeem us. Well, we can say, well, He could have. He's God. He can do anything. But He chose not to. He chose a woman. And when people say that the Catholic Church represses women, it is the Mother of God that is the most biggest woman and female has created, that God created to be His spouse and His mother of the Son of God. So my brothers and sisters, Jesus can refuse her nothing. And He knows that because He knows that He will never ask Him something to do that is not in line with the will of God and pleases God. And so Jesus does promise to her. And He answers her request. If you have any doubts, reread today's gospel. Mary has the ear of Jesus. She had the ear of Jesus while on earth. And since there is no time in heaven, she has the ear and the heart and the soul of Christ now as she exists with the triune God as we are walking towards the Trinity. And so we are called to venerate. We are called to pray to Mary. And the best prayer that we can do is for Mary, to Mary, is the Rosary. You ask us, we ask you to pray for our brothers and sisters, for our sons, for our daughters, for our parents. Why not ask Mary, co-redemptress, to pray for us? Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us now and at the hour of death. Mary, what a beautiful name, Mary. The power of the Rosary is beyond description, says Fulton Sheen. The greatest method of praying is to pray the Rosary, St. Francis de Sales. There is no problem, I tell you, no matter how difficult it is, that we cannot resolve by the prayer of the Holy Red Rosary, Sister Lucia of Fatima, and St. Mother Beale, that fought Satan in his heart, in his mind, physically being thrown around, states the Rosary. That is my weapon. It is the same weapon and the power given to us through the intercession of Mary in our lives. So I leave you with this thought, my brothers and sisters. The scenario that occurred at the wedding of Cana, God in His providence, since He ordains everything and is in control and His will for us, He ordained that wine would run out. And he ordained that there be 6 jugs of 30 gallons, and that 180 gallons of wine would be made through the miracle of the changing of water into wine, through Mary, not even speaking to Jesus, but you can imagine the look that he gave to Jesus. Let's do it. So my brothers and sisters, what happened at that wedding, and what happens to us? But we must reflect as that the wedding at Cana is the same thing in the wedding at Cana that must occur in our own hearts, in our own mind, and in our own lives. Sort of a domestic depletion, so to speak. The wine was depleted during the wedding. In our lives, as soon as we step out of the uterus, as soon as we are born onto that table and those cold lights and cold environment, we are depleted of warmth, we are cut and severed from our mother's umbilical cord, and then it begins to come to depletion for the rest of our lives. Because kids at 8 years of old of age can get leukemia, a depletion of health. And then we can lose our loved ones, a depletion of our family members, depletion of material things, depletion of money, of spiritual strength, of fortitude, and depletion of physical strength, depletion of youth, and eventually depletion of life, of death that comes to us all. And so, my brothers and sisters, the cross, the depletion of what happens in our lives, the same thing that happened at wedding at Cana. And the two things, the two people that were present at the wedding at Cana were Jesus, and we have him at the Mass, and we have him in the tabernacle every day and night, always accessible, especially here at the shrine. And who else was there? Was Mary. So we pray the rosary, and we visit the Blessed Sacrament, and then there is no depletion. There is no condition. There is no suffering, as painful and as dark that may come into our lives, that is not unsurmountable. Wherever God may shut a window, he will always open a door through his Blessed Mother and through the Son. Wherever he shuts a door, he opens a window. But we must be and are like the apostles. Because if you reread the gospel, when they saw the water turned into wine, what does the gospel say at the end? They began to believe. Because it's a continual beginning to believe. Because when we're high and mighty and holy, we feel great. We're high and mighty and feeling great. And when something hits us, where are you? He's always there. So we must begin again to always believe that the miracle of Mary and the miracle of Christ and the triune God exists in our lives, and the wedding of Cana must be lived continually, that someday, finally, we will be able to stare in the face of God, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and stare in the face of our beautiful Mother, Holy Mary.